Thank you. Let us pray. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Amen. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Savior, we give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Healer, we give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Ancient of Days, we want to bless your holy name. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank you for January. We want to thank you for February. We want to thank you for March. We want to thank you for April. We want to thank you for May. And Lord, we are thanking you for June. Only the living can praise you, Lord. Because it has pleased you to keep us alive, we say thank you. Oh Lord God Almighty, thank you. Great preserver, great savior, great healer, the all in all, thank you. Merciful God, thank you. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, we are asking that in this month of June, like never before, you will visit your children. We pray that anyone who may be sick among us, you will heal today.
Amen.
That you will have mercy on us.
Amen.
As individuals, Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
As families, have mercy on us.
Amen.
As a church, have mercy on us.
Amen.
And in all nations of the world, Lord, we're asking that you please tender judgment with mercy.
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, we are committing to your special care all your children who have been faithful in the payment of their tithes and in the giving of their offerings. The way you alone can do it, Lord, embarrass them with your blessings.
Amen.
Turn their failure to success.
Amen.
And in all ways possible, keep sorrow away from them.
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, today we're asking for a brand new beginning for every one of your children. A beginning of joy,
Amen.
Of success,
Amen.
Of a closer walk with you.
Amen.
Please, Lord, long before the end of this month, let these problems that is troubling the whole world be over. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I saw one shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Please be seated. As we are thanking God for a new month, thanking him for everything he's done for us in the past, We will ask that we open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll be reading from verse 28 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Not too long ago, I spoke to you about seven ways of dealing with a mountain. And I told you that, number one, you can turn back if you see a mountain. But that the Bible made it clear that if any man draws back, God has no interest in such a fellow. I said, number two, you could walk around the mountain. But we also mentioned the fact that the children of Israel tried to walk around their own mountain, and they walked for 40 years, only to discover that they came right back to where they started from. We said, number three, you could climb the mountain. And number four, we spoke that you could bore through the mountain, dig a tunnel through it, and we discussed that one in some details. We also said, number five, you could blow it up, just blast it off, like in the case of the wall of Jericho. And then number six, we say you could sit on the mountain, you could build an accommodation on it. And then number seven, we say you could fly over it, which is the best of the lot. Today, we want to discuss that number seven in our Thanksgiving, flying over mountains. And in the text we read to you, verse 31 tells you what to do if you want to fly over your mountain. And it says that all you have to do is wait on the Lord. Now, when we talk about waiting on the Lord, many people assume that that means we should go to the presence of the Lord, lock the door, and bombard God with requests. Write down 100 requests, take it into a room with you, and just keep on bombarding God with requests. But that's not exactly what waiting on the Lord means. The one who waits is called a waiter. And if you have had the opportunity of dining in a very good hotel, you find that there are people there that are called waiters. And the job of the waiters basically are as follows. Number one, they seat the guest. They take you to where you are going to sit down. And then number two, if it's a good hotel, first-class hotel, the next thing they bring you is water to drink. Or if you want something else to drink, they make that available. That's even as they are presenting you with a menu for you to select what you want to eat. Then they provide you with food. And they stand by to receive your instructions, in case you want something else, in case what you ordered It's not exactly what you really want to eat. You want to change your mind. They wait on you. They stand by you until you are fully satisfied. That's the work of a waiter. Now, this passage says, your duty is to wait on God. God is to be the guest, and you are to be the waiter. And what do? To cause God to sit down, to lead him to his seat. Psalm 132 from verse 7 to 8, Psalm 132 from verse 7 to 8 says, you worship him, and then you invite him to his seat. When you worship him, then you can then say, arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place. You start by worshiping him. And then you give him water to drink. Giving water to the Almighty God to drink is so important, because if you read John chapter 19, verse 28, John 19, verse 28, you discover that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he didn't complain about the stripes that he had been beaten with. He didn't complain about the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet. He didn't complain about the crown of thorns. The only thing he shouted about is water. I thirst. Number three, you are now to present God with the food of his choice. And according to John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, John 4, 23 and 24, the Bible tells us that if you want the Almighty God to be fully satisfied with your food, you must worship him in spirit and in truth, because that's what he's seeking for. Throughout the period he's with you, while you are the waiter, you must treat him with honor, because that's how you treat your guests in a good hotel, with honor. And God said in Psalm 50, verse 23, Psalm 50, verse 23, how do you do that? He said, you offer him praise. He said, whosoever offered praise glorifies me. You want to treat me with honor? Praise me. And then make sure he is fully satisfied. You have to stand by to make sure he is fully satisfied. That's why we call it waiting. I do make sure he's fully satisfied, that he's pleased. Revelation chapter 4 from verse 8 to 11. Revelation 4 from verse 8 to 11 tells you, it is done. You fall down, you worship him, you tell him you are worthy to be praised because you made all things for your pleasure. So you worship him. Lead him to his seat, offer him water to drink, offer him food of his choice, and treat him with honor. Make sure he's fully satisfied. You want an example? Oh, Genesis chapter 18, from verse 1 to 14. Let's take the example of Father Abraham, the father of faith. He was sitting in front of his tent. He saw God and two other angels passing by. He ran to meet them. He said, please come. Come and sit down in my tent. Two, let me bring some water. Three, let me bring some food. Four, while they were eating, he stood by them, waiting for further instructions. That's the meaning of waiting on the Lord. You want to fly with wings as eagles? You want to fly over your mountains? Wait on the Lord. And everything about waiting on the Lord has to do with praising him, worshiping him, praising him, worshiping him, adoring him. Not bombarding him with requests. He's not the waiter. You are the waiter. And just as businessmen, they will tell you, the customer is always right. He's the guest of honor. Now, the interesting thing now is, when a waiter has satisfied a customer, the customer will not leave without giving a tip. And you know what? The greater the guest, the bigger the tip. The tip that I will give, that I will consider sufficient for my waiter, will be absolutely absurd if it is a president that is about to give the gift. And now we are talking about a tip from the Most High God, a tip from the one who says, silver is mine, gold is mine, a tip from the one who says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof, a tip from the one who said, the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. When he gives you a tip, after you have waited on him correctly, then you can fly over several mountains. Number one, you can fly over the mountain of failure. Luke chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. Peter was a failure. He has fished all night, caught nothing. Then God borrowed his boat, sat down in his boat, was fed in his boat. You say, no, they didn't give him food. You don't understand. Jesus Christ said later on, my food is to do the will of the one who has sent me. He sat down in the boat and preached. Yet, his kind of food in the boat. And while he was preaching, Peter stood by. He was a good waiter. At the end, Jesus Christ said, all right, boy, you've done a good job. Now let's give you a tip. You know the rest of the story. He cast his net once and caught so much fish that his boat and the boat of the neighbors were so full of fish, they were beginning to sink. You want to fly over failure? Make God happy. You want to fly over the mountain of poverty? Wait on the Lord. Make him happy. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. The widow of Zarephath and Elijah, you know this story very well. When Elijah came, what was the first thing he asked for? Water. After water, food. And when the woman said, I'm about to prepare the food for myself, I'm your guest now. You feed me first. After I've left, if you want, you can then make for yourself and your son. I mean, after I've been fed. That woman survived the famine, never lacked food again, as a tip. You wait on the Lord correctly, you will fly over the mountain of barrenness. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. You know the story, the Shunammite woman waited on Elisha. Finally, Elisha said, let's give her a tip. And he gave her what money could not buy. That's not to talk about Papa Abraham that we mentioned his case earlier on. You wait on the Lord correctly, I can assure you, you will fly over the mountain of physical lockdown. Take Acts chapter 16. Read the story from verse 16 to 34. Acts 16 from verse 16 to 34. Paul was minding his own business. A demonized girl began to bother him. He cast out the demon. Just doing the work of God. They grabbed him, and Silas, his partner, threw them to prison. And I may talk of lockdown. They were thoroughly locked down. Chains on their legs and hands. And then they waited on the Lord. And God sent an earthquake. We thank God for everything that the government have been doing. And you know what? You can't lock down the whole world forever. Sooner or later, the lockdown will be over. For some people, it will be over sooner than later. You learn to worship the Almighty God. And all of a sudden, you discover that instead of the lockdown being a problem, it will become an asset. You worship the Almighty God appropriately. You wait on Him appropriately. You will fly over spiritual lockdown. Physical lockdown is a minor thing. There is a saying that there are people who are prisoners, but who are not in a prison yard. Yes, they are in their home. They can go in, they can come out, but they are in prison also because they have problems. Forces of darkness holding them in bondage. I mean, look at that fellow we used to talk about all the time, the madman of Gadara, Mark chapter 5 from verse 2 to 20. Mark 5, 2 to 20. He was locked down in a graveyard by forces of darkness. But when he saw Jesus Christ coming, I don't know if you ever read the story very well, the first thing he did, he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And that day, he was freed. I've told you the story before of a woman who was sick, quite a wealthy woman. The only problem she had is that whatever she ate, she vomited. Oh, and she's been to all manners of doctors because money was no object. They've done all manners of x-ray, whatever, echo sound, any other sound. And they said, woman, you are absolutely normal. But I can keep food down. Then she came to a Butemeta. We have not even heard her story. All we said is, let somebody shout hallelujah. And as she was shouting hallelujah, a worm jumped out of her mouth. That was the end of the problem. Are you in bondage? Do you have a problem that cannot be explained? If you wait on the Lord correctly, you fly over that mountain. You wait on Him. You please God. You can fly over the mountain of death. In 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 9 to 11. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 9 to 11. The Bible tells us that Elijah practically flew to heaven. He went to heaven by a wild wind. He broke the law of God that says it is appointed unto man once to die. I'm sure as he was going, he would probably be laughing at death and say, death, where is that appointment now? He flew over death. And some of you will remember this case of one of our young men on the day of his wedding. They finished the service, the journey together. They've gone to the vestry to sign. He had signed. The wife was about to sign. When somebody called the boy, and he was the only one who had the calling. And he answered and fell down dead. And those of you who are elders who know about African magic, you know what happened. He hit the ground, and by the time he got to the ground, he was dead. I mean, and there was commotion in the vestry. All the pastors were praying all manners of prayers, binding and loosing, etc., etc. And it got colder. Until the most senior pastor at that wedding remembered that I have taught them, say, when prayers fail, try praise. I said, okay, everybody, continue to praise God now. Stop praying. And then he ran into the church, because by now, the people in the church were wondering, what kind of register are you people signing? 30 minutes gone. He ran to the church. I said, brethren, keep on praising God, singing, dancing. We will join you in a moment. Ran back into the vestry. And now they were no longer asking God to raise the boy. They were now saying, Jesus, you are the Almighty. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's no one like you. There's nothing you cannot do. And all of a sudden, the man on the floor sneezed and said, what am I doing on the floor? They say, when you get up, we will tell you. That's more than 30 years ago. Is he alive today? He flew over the mountain of death. And you know what? The one that is most beautiful to me of it all is that the Bible says, when the Lord shall return, those of us who are still alive will fly to go and meet him in the air. You know, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Genesis 5, verse 24, the Bible tells us of another fellow who didn't see death. His name, in case you don't know, is Enoch. I must be the fellow that my mother thought about when she said that they should call me Enoch. Why? Hebrews 11 verse 5. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. But before he departed, he had this testimony that he pleased God. At the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17, the Bible made it clear. When the trumpets shall sound and the Lord shall return, he's not going to come down to the earth. He will wait in the air. And those of us who remain, we just fly to go and join him in the air. Wait on him. Please him. Sing his praise. Thank him for what he's done. Worship him for who he is. And you are likely to make it to the rapture. I've said before, long ago in one of my sermons, I said, God forbid bad thing. But suppose I die, and then I get to heaven, and I found that the gate is locked, the door is locked. And they said, no, you can't come in. For one reason or the other, but God forbid bad thing. I said, I know what to do to get in. I will stay out there and begin to worship him, praise him, magnify his holy name. I won't complain. I won't say, hey, don't you know how hard I work for you? No. I just say, you are the Almighty. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the beginning. You are the ending. You are the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. Very soon, God will say, who locked that fellow out? Because those who worship me in spirit and in truth, they belong in, not out. Conclusion. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, don't waste your time praising him. He's not interested in the praises of those who are not his children. As a matter of fact, he says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, Proverbs 15, verse 8, he says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. With what mouth do you want to praise God? The same mouth with which you are still kissing Satan? The same mouth that is still lying And you say you want to praise him from the bottom of your heart. What kind of heart? That kind of heart that is still wicked, that is still devising evil means. And yet, if you don't join those who are praising him, you are not going at the rapture. So in your own interest, before we begin to praise him, before we begin to adore him on this wonderful Thanksgiving Sunday, surrender your life to Jesus. Let his blood wash you clean. Then and only then will your praise be acceptable to him. Shall we please bow our heads? And those of you who want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, please do so now. He does not want even the sacrifice of praise of anyone who is still living in sin. Bow your heads now. Call on him to please save your soul. Call on him to wash you clean with his blood. Call on him to include you in the family of God, in the family of those who can praise him and worship him acceptably in spirit and in truth. And please let the rest of us intercede for all those who are surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ now. Let us pray that the one who saved our souls will save their own souls also. Let's intercede that the Almighty God will grant them genuine salvation. Let's intercede for them. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Savior, I want to thank you once again from the bottom of my heart for your word. Thank you for these people who have decided to surrender their life to you. I can see them, but you can see them. And you can see into their hearts. Those of them who have genuinely decided to surrender their life to you, please receive them.
Amen.
Save their souls.
Amen.
Let your blood wash away their sins.
Amen.
Please write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
Receive them into the family of God.
Amen.
And from now on, when they praise you, let their praise be acceptable to you.
Amen.
And answer all their prayers by fire.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father and my God.
Amen.
And Lord, in a moment, all your children will be praising you and worshiping you and adoring you. As they begin to do so, Father, I pray that you will grant them the grace to begin to fly.
Amen.
Fly over every mountain in their lives. Whether it be mountain of sickness, or poverty, or barrenness, or failure, of lockdown, whether physical or spiritual, whether it is a mountain of death, even those that the doctors have already said there's nothing we can do again, please, as they begin to praise you, give them wings to fly over death.
Amen.
And when you shall return, oh, my Father and my God, when the saints will be marching, when those of us who remain on earth at your coming will be flying to meet you in the air, please, Lord, count us worthy.
Amen.
Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. Now, those of you who have surrendered your life to Jesus, please get in contact with me, either through your house fellowship leader or any of the pastors nearby, as soon as possible, so I can begin to pray with you. And from now on, keep on rejoicing, keep on praising the Almighty God, and you will be flying over mountains. Now, the rest of us, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. You are not going anywhere, so spend quality time praising God, worshiping him. And very soon we'll be hearing testimonies of mountains that have been there, that had removed, refused to move, that you don't bother anymore because you are now flying over them. God bless you all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord! I believe this message has really blessed your life. And if you have just given your life or rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, please send an SMS or a WhatsApp message titled Saved to any of these phone numbers. +234 706 497 9797 or +234 810 383 0237 or +234 803 722 1550 or +234 805 504 1394. Also, you can send an email to altarcall@rccg.org. Thank you, and God bless you.